Okay, my friends, this is going to be the final class, Parshas Maaseh, and the book of Bamidbar for this year. The 34th chapter of the book of Numbers is in the fifth reading of Parshas Matos and Maaseh, when they come together. And now, for the first time, Moshe Rabbeinu will begin to give the exact coordinates of the future homeland, the sacred soil of Eretz Yisrael. Vayidaver Hashem el Moshe lemer. The 34th chapter opens with God speaking to Moses yet again. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, convey to the Jewish people, Tzavas Bnei Yisrael, instruct the Jewish people, instruct the Israelites, Ve'amarta Aleihem, and you should say to them, Ki atem boyim el ha'aretz Kanaan. You're coming to this land of Canaan. Zeis ha'aretz asher tipa lochem benachla. This is the land that will fall to you by inheritance. Eretz Kanaan l'gvuliseha. The land of Canaan, as per its borders, its scrimmages. So the interesting thing to note is that it says, Tzavas Bnei Yisrael, and you'll say to them, you're coming El Ha'aretz Canaan, with a hay in the front. The land, Canaan. So the Ibn Ezra says, it's as if it would say, Boyim El Ha'aretz, you're coming to the land. What is the land? The land is Eretz Canaan. The Ramban says, the name of this land for now is Canaan. Why is the name Canaan? Just like Mitzrayim was called Mitzrayim because Mitzrayim lived there. So the land was called Canaan because Canaanim were living there. But really you're coming to the Eretz. The Eretz which is called Canaan by virtue of its inhabitants. Zeis ha'aretz asher tipa lochem. Why does the Torah give us borders? So Ralbag called Gersonides, Rabbeinu Levi ben Gershon, he says, what do you mean? There's going to be a military campaign. They have to conquer the land. So you have to give them a specific destination. What is the land we're supposed to conquer? The Mefarshim say that B'nai God and B'nai Reuven had negotiated with Moshe Rabbeinu, and they wanted to remain on the western side, Me'evra Yarden, the other side of the river. So since the Bnei God and Bnei Reuven were going to inherit on the other side, so at this point, the Torah says, and here's the area that the rest of the Jewish people are going to inherit. Zeis ha'aretz, this is the land. The word Zeis seems to indicate some kind of specific fingering of the land. What Zeis should say, Zeh ha'aretz, or ha'aretz. So the Medrash Rabbah says that this teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually showed Moshe Rabbeinu, miraculously, the entire land. And the Medrash says further, that the word Zeis indicates that he showed him Dor Dor V'Dorshav, each generation, and the achievements and accomplishments of every single generation. Dor Dor U'Manhigav. He showed him every generation and its leaders. Dor Dor V'Shoftav, every generation of its judges. And finally, Dor Dor V'Tzadikav, every generation and its righteous individuals. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw far more than we could imagine. And that's the Zeis Ha'aretz Asher Tipa Lachem. This is the business of Zeis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually showing Moshe Rabbeinu something. The Sefarno says that Zeis is to say that which they had conquered outside of Eretz Yisrael, that was now going to be inhabited by Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, that was not divided by virtue of a goral. It was not divided by virtue of a lottery. But this land, Zeis Ha'aretz, Asher Tipa Lachem, this land which will be divided, which will fall to you, this land will be divided by goral. It will go ultimately be divvied up and apportioned by virtue of the lottery. Finally, it says, Asher tipa lochem. What's the business of lochem? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the land is mine, says the Medrash Tanchuma. The Jewish people, the Israelites, are mine. Ha'aretz shalihi. Ha'am Yisrael shalihem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's mutav, it's good for me, that I should give the land that is mine to the people that are mine. And this is the idea of lochem. Lochem is because you are mine, and the Shechina will be with you, and that's Ha'aretz HaShatipa Lochem. So this gives us a little bit of a broad appreciation of what this Pasuk might be saying, and the various things that it alludes to, midrashically, and in a more homiletic sense. The question is, what is the literal pshat? And in order to understand literal pshat, there's a bigger question that has to be answered. Gersonides, Ralbag touched on this, but we have to answer that question and pshut l'shon mikra. And the question is, why exactly are we hearing about borders now? What is the point? So Rashi says, without asking the question, Rashi answers the question. Zayis ha'aretz asher tipa lachem. This is the land that will fall to you. V'goymer. And we know when Rashi includes the word v'gomer, etc., in the Dibur HaMaskel, in the Koteret, when these are the words that he's going to be interpreting, elucidating, and explaining. So v'gomer indicates he's explaining the entire verse, not just the words Zot ha'aretz asher tipa lachem. It's more than those five words. V'gomer means he's explaining this entire pasuk. So the implicit question is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu talking about the coordinates, the details of the borders and the scrimmages of Eretz Yisrael? Rashi answers, Lefi shahar be mitzvahs neges baretz, because there are many mitzvahs that are applicable in the land. Vei neges b'chutz laretz, but these mitzvahs do not apply outside of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, hutzrach lichtev mitzarone gvule ruchesea soviv. That's why it's important for the Torah to delineate the exact borders, the outer parameter of where Eretz Yisrael begins and ends. Loimer lecho, as if to say to you, min hagvulim halolu ulefnim, from these coordinates and whatever is inside that area, hamitzvus neges, that's where the mitzvahs apply. And that's why it says tzav, because tzav is bnei Yisrael, is connected to mitzvahs. Tzav, instruct them. Why do you have to instruct the Jewish people about the land? He could say daber, emor. Why tzav? But tzav is a mitzvah. But this is about mitzvahs. This is about a mitzvah, a land in which the Jewish people are going to be instructed to perform Hashem instructions. Tipay lochem. The word is, it should fall to you. Let's talk about this idea of the fallen land, a land that falls to us. What does it mean, tipel? Says Rashi, al shem shenischalka begoyrol, because this is the land that is apportioned and divvied by virtue of the lottery, the goyrol. As the Sefarno told us, that's the business of Zeus Aras. This land is apportioned by goyrol. The other land, the Ever HaYarden, the land that was inherited by God and Reuven, was not apportioned by goyrol. That was apportioned by need, by want, by desire, by what made sense, but not the land of Eretz Yisrael. The land was actually apportioned by goyrol. And therefore it says tipa. Because since this chalukah was going to fall to you, it's lashon nefila. It means it falls to you. Now what does it mean it falls to you? It falls to you means a person could say, this is the portion that fell to me. It's not what came to me by virtue of rhyme and reason. Why is it that I should live in this part of land and you should live in the other land? I should live right along the river and you should live on a mountaintop, and yet somebody else should live on a hill. Why? That's the way it is. That's the portion. You know, there's an expression in Tilim, Chavalim naflu li bana'imim. The Mel says, this is the portion that's fallen to me. Pleasant portions have fallen to me. So therefore, Rashi says the idea of tipa lachem is because this is what they call, quote, the luck of the draw. Let's see where it lands. Let's see where things go. You don't know how it's going. This is where it's going to fall. Umedrish agada imer, and the agadic interpretation says to us, al yedei, this is because, why did the land fall to us? Shehipil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sareihem Shel Shiva Umis, because the spiritual alter ego of these Shiva Umis, of these seven nations, was thrown from their heavenly perch. Min HaShemayim Ukfosan, and it was as if God had shackled or handcuffed them, Lifnei Meisha, before Meisha. V'Amar Lei, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says to Meisha, do not be fearful of these people. Nothing exists in the material world without a spiritual alter ego. We know the Medrash tells us, and the Gemara says, that there isn't an Esev, there isn't a blade of grass in this world that doesn't grow unless there's a Mazal HaMakabay, unless there is a spiritual force which is constantly connecting, communicating with it. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu could be afraid, could be concerned. These seven nations had a spiritual force behind them too. So Rashi tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe that the spiritual force of these nations had already been vanquished. They were already tied, shackled before Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Re'ei ein b'hem oid koyach. They no longer have any strength. All right, so in short, we have essentially two answers as to why the land will fall to you. Why the Torah uses this expression. Expression number one is because it's a goro, and that's where the lottery falls. But expression number two is, and this land which will fall to you by goro, how indeed will it fall, and why is God telling that to Moshe Rabbeinu here? Why re-emphasize this? It's already been talked about before. As they say, l'may nafkemina, what difference does it make? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu a number of messages. And the subtle messaging was, there's nothing to be concerned with. Their spiritual force has already been vanquished, and now it's only a question of the material reality that will follow or fall into place. So the angels have already fallen. The material reality is simply an empty suit. It's just a facade that will collapse and fall as well. So there's an obvious question that we should ask ourselves. Rashi follows Pshuta Shel Mikra, right? He's always trying to give us the simplest, the most straightforward, most obvious interpretation. What kind of instructions is Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Jewish people now? What's their next big achievement or accomplishment? What do they have to do? What's the next big thing? Conquer the land? That's the next big thing? They conquered Sichem Va'og. Now, Bnei Gad and Reuven essentially settled themselves in. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned with, who will fight for the land? We will, they said. We'll be pioneers. And that's the next big idea. So Ralbag seems to have it right. If they're going to go to the land of Israel and they're going to conquer it, all right, who is going to conquer that? The Jewish people. What are they going to conquer? Tell me what you want me to conquer. Go and fight. All right, I'll fight. Conquer the land. Which land? That land. Where does it begin? Where does it end? It's only natural that Moshe Rabbeinu should have to tell the Jewish people, here's the land you're going to conquer. There weren't clearly defined borders. Here's the borders. Instead, Rashi gives us a story about mitzvahs. And the language of tzav does not compel us to say that this is about mitzvahs hanoyegis ba'aretz, special commandments, special instructions that Hashem gave us that are applicable only in the land of Israel, for the simple reason that conquering the land of Israel is also an instruction. It's also a tzav. Go and conquer the land. That's your instructions, marching orders. So if the marching orders were to conquer the land, then it should be enough to say that you're conquering the land for the purpose of conquering the land. And that's why you need to have borders. And this is the question that the Rebbe asks here on page Reishim and Vav, which is Siman Yud Beis in the Biurim. Yeshlishel, the question becomes, Minayin l'Rashi l'Farish. Well, where does Rashi get this? Or what compels him? Shetzi'in Gevulei Sa'aretz, that the demarcation of the specific borders and scrimmages of Eretz Yisrael are leimer lecha, are to tell you, min ha'gvulei sa'lolu v'lefnim ha'mitzvahs ne'egis, that from this point, this border onward, the mitzvahs apply. Harei nitan leimer b'pashtos, it's so obvious you could say, Hamatorahi, the purpose of these instructions, of this delineation, of this clear demarcation of the land of Israel, is Laheres Levnei Yisrael, is Gvulas Haaretz, to show the Jewish people the borders of the land, Sha'aleihem Lichboish, that they have to go conquer. Is it not a no-brainer? It's a no-brainer. And that's what Ralbach says. And yet Rashi rejects this. Rashi has a different approach. So the Rebbe suggests that the reason that Rashi says tipulachem is not because it says tzav. The reason that Rashi says, pardon me, it's a mitzvah, is not because of the verbiage tzav, because that could fit for the land also. They were instructed to conquer the land. But rather, the issue is the language that's employed by the Torah, Zois ha'aretz asher tipur lechem. This is the land that will fall to you. Fall to you. What is the meaning, when you think about it, of something falling to you? It fell into my lap.
No effort.
It fell into my lap. I didn't work on it. I didn't even want it. Maybe just fell into my lap. So it sounds like the land which will fall into the Jewish people's lap. How will that happen? Al yaday. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Things like that don't fall into your lap by mistake. How did it fall into your lap? God made it fall into my lap. But aren't the Jewish people going to conquer the land of Israel? Is there going to be military maneuvers? Isn't there a strategy? Yeah, so that's not called falling into the land. But did the old city of Jerusalem fall into our hands in 1967? Not exactly. Do you know how many soldiers died in Givat HaTachmoshet? In the end, the whole battle was a miracle. It makes no sense. But to say that it just fell into our hands by mistake? Oh, we didn't even know how this happened. We know how it happened. Maybe we don't know how it happened successfully, but it worked very hard for it. How did one wise person once say, the harder I work, the luckier I get. The Jewish people were instructed to go and conquer the land. And if that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying to the Jewish people, the last thing he should say is, yeah, it's going to fall into your hands. Fall in! They fall in, really? We don't have to fight? Oh, well, you kind of do have to fight, but it's just going to fall into your hands. Hey, Moshe, either it's falling into our hands, or we're fighting for it. Which one is it going to be?
Reshut netuna.
Reshut means permission that's given. It doesn't mean it's fallen in. V'lachein, the Rebbe suggests, ha-mataras ha-kos of l'heiris of Nei Yisrael es gevula sa'aretz sha'aleim lichbesh. Since we're talking about the land that they have to conquer, or if the Pasuk would be speaking about conquering the land of Israel, and the reason for the delineation of borders is because they have to know what to fight for, le'hoyum mokim le'ishtamash be'bitizeh, then that expression is simply incongruous. Doesn't fit. It shouldn't say tipa. It shouldn't say fall. What should it say? This is the land you will accomplish, achieve, the land you will conquer. If you don't want to emphasize the efforts of the people because it'll be a gift from Hashem, say, this is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. You're going to have to fight for it, but this is your inheritance. Because the Pasuk makes a point of saying this is the land that will fall to you. When you say the land will fall to you, whose effort is emphasized here? If you want to use that word effort. Whose involvement? Who's doing this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this, so then it's not about us doing it. You can't say this Pasuk is about us conquering the land, because clearly this is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing something. Zeisa'aretz asher tipur lechem. So then it has to be that in some way, this has to do with the fact that the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's the holy land. That it's sacred soil. Now pray tell, what makes soil sacred? What makes the land holy? This is the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? What does a holy land look like? Every grain of soil has little wings on it. What is a holy land? In Pashtos, in very simple, straightforward understanding, the meaning of a holy land of Israel. It's an opportunity to come closer to Hashem. What are opportunities to come closer to Hashem called in Hebrew? Mitzvahs. A mitzvah is an opportunity. A mitzvah is a mechanism, a convention, an envelope through which we, the Jewish people, are able to nurture a more profound relationship with God. That's what a mitzvah is. V'lachem pirish Rashi, therefore Rashi says, if there's going to be an emphasis on borders, and the emphasis on borders is prefaced with the activity of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it must be about the mitzvahs that the Jewish people are going to do, the land that is sacred, the land that falls to you because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs that can be fulfilled there. In the next entry, the Rebbe goes on to say, Divrei Rashi, the words of Rashi, Sha'akosav Neked Kan Lashon Nefila. The Rashi is addressing the fact that the Torah uses the terminology of Nefila, falling. And Rashi says, Al Shem Shenischalku Begoyrol. Rashi says, because it was divided, apportioned by the Goral. So the first Rashi we learned about is the business that the land is going to be identified for the purposes of the mitzvah that has to be performed. In the next Rashi, he deals specifically with the verbiage of Tipo, and he says, this is because it was divided, it was apportioned by virtue of a lottery. So the Rebbe says, this itself, Dershim Bir. V'chi b'chaluka sa'aretz l'shvatim askinan. Did we get specific borders of which tribe will live or occupy with a certain territory? No. What did we get? The outer parameters. The big border. This is the land. So if this is the land, what are you telling me stories about? You'll occupy this part and the other shevet will occupy that part. The Goyrol actually was effective in apportioning the land amongst the tribes, not even amongst individuals. And if you remember, we talked about this in the previous parsha. What would happen is that the areas were broadly identified. The whole land was broken up into 600,000 plus portions. And then they took, if this was your land, if this was Beshvelo, if this was Bahar, this was in a lowland, if this was in a hill or in a hilltop or whatever typography it was, and then each shevet got l'rav tarbe nachalosei, ulamat tamit nachalosei. The larger tribe, greater population, had a larger portion, and the smaller tribe had a smaller portion. But the Goral couldn't say that. If they would have divided the land into 12 portions, which were larger and smaller, would there ever be a question which tribe goes to which portion? It would already be divided into big and small. That doesn't make any sense. So it can't be it was divided into 12 distinct territories. It was divided into, broadly speaking, territories, and the exact territorial area was then later charted out in accordance with the population that each tribe had. So why are we telling us a story that the reason it says, Tipu lachem sheneschalku begoyrol, this delineation has nothing to do with the Goral. On the contrary, this delineation is about Gvulei Seha Shal Eretz Yisrael Ki Yechida Achas, the land of Israel as one large parcel. Uman Yonei Shal HaGoyrol Lekan. How does the Goyrol really intersect with the fact that the land is being now identified in its pluralistic or broader sense? The Yesh Leimer, the Rebbe suggests, B'dibur HaKoydim, in the earlier Rashi, we already found out that seeing Gvulos Haaretz Kan Noyad, the reason that the land was being identified, that the borders were being clearly delineated, was Lesamen Es HaGvulos, in order to clearly mark out the borders, Shebetchum Noyeges Betchuma Noyeges HaMitzvos HaTloy Baruch, that you know where the mitzvos are done. Omeachas Shechelik Niker MeHaMitzvos HaTloy Baruch, because a significant amount of the mitzvos that Eretz Yisrael is connected to are only la'acharei hashlamas chalukas aretz l'shvatim. It's only after the tribes are living in their respective territories, as it says, la'acharei Yerusha v'chaluka, after not only inheriting the land, generally speaking, but also after dividing the land, apportioning the land amongst the different tribes, hamizbatzas hayadei girdle, the only way that each tribe knew where it was going to be, how did that happen? Only through the Goral. And that makes sense to use the word terminology Nefila. And that's because the Nefila is HaGoral in Gvulas Aretz Kula, because the only way we can actually get the mitzvahs is if the land is divided specifically amongst the Shvatim. So really, these two Rashis dovetail into one another. The notion that Nefila indicates that the land would fall to the Jewish people, emphasis on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's giving the land, is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, and that itself is connected to the Goral, because it was only through the Goral that each tribe knew where it had to be in Eretz Yisrael, that the mitzvahs would specifically apply and B, something that's relevant. Most of the mitzvahs, with the exception of challah, did not apply when they came to Eretz Yisrael. It only applied after we were in a rightful place. And now you know the meaning of the land will fall to us. And of course it did fall to us. And our hope and our prayer is that in Eretz Hashem, very, very speedily and in our days, the land will fall to us all over again in its fullness and its entirety. And there, Nasa kemitzvah tzeinecha in Eretz Yisrael Hashleima, in the whole intact, complete Eretz Yisrael, and in Yerushalayim Habnuya, we will do all of Hashem's mitzvahs as they are ordained in the Torah, the Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Mehera, the Biyameinu, Amen.
Amazing, but it defines the borders here.